Hey, thanks for tuning in to Grapple Talk. My name is Nick Ragner, joined by my co-hosts every single week, AC Riley and Jesse Von Rudin. We're part of the wrestling community. We've been doing so for 7 years, and we decided to do this little podcast thing to, kind of raise awareness for indie wrestling going on in the Midwest.
Well, absolutely. We talk about a wide variety of topics. Obviously, one of the golden gems, probably why you're here listening, is because we like to sit down with a wrestler in the community and pick their brains a little bit, see why they got in the business, what they can expect from the upcoming months, and we just like to shoot the shit with them.
And we're just not all about picking brains, because that's kind of like picking your nose, but you can always tune in for Wrestler's Perspective, where AC Riley would give his thoughts on a current subject matter. It could be the situation in North Korea,
or it could be
Taco Bell.
Plus,
we also have Tape Study and a bunch of goodness as well.
We have a bunch of goodness, so thanks for tuning in, and make sure you tune in every single week to Grapple Talk, your favorite hosts and your favorite time.
Vegeta, what does the scouter say about his power level?
It's over 9,000!
What, 9,000? There's no way that can be right!
I present to you the hosts of Grapple Talk, Nick Ragner, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Rudin.
And welcome into Grapple Talk episode 56, the first episode of 2015. I am AC Riley, joined by Jesse Von Rudin, not joined by Nicholas Joseph Ragner, or aka Nikki Duche. He's not here.
Well, he's not here for a good reason. His girlfriend's vehicle was not starting, and if you know what the kind of weather is outside right now, it's one of those things. You really want to have a working vehicle, so he's not really a douche today. He is a sweetheart of a man.
Well, at least that's what we're inclined to believe. For all we know, he didn't want to go outside, and he's just like, hey, man, sorry, my girlfriend's car broke down. I'm being a nice guy, a.k.a. I'm watching movies. Fuck off.
That seems like a very elaborate ruse to actually pull.
Hey, man, Nicky Duche is a smart guy.
He's not the type of guy. He's not going to make up an excuse not to show up.
Fair enough. Well, Nicky Duche is not here. Ace Riley and Jesse Von Rudin will be kicking things off for 2015. If you're listening for the first time, this is a podcast about Midwest independent wrestling, talking with Midwest independent wrestling guests. The first guest is Jiggy Jack Spade of Wisconsin. Looking forward to chat with him finally. For our credentials, Jesse Von Rudin, you've been around here for almost 7 years with the production angle. You've kind of gotten the ins and outs of, like, on the backside of, production, I think.
I like how you say I have the ins and outs of backsides.
Yeah, I worded that perfectly, don't you think?
I guess you did.
Nick, when he's here, he can talk about the broadcast side as well. Graduated with the broadcast degree over with communications at UWL. And also, he's been on TV for a few times for sports anchoring, and he's done commentary with you.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are some of the most dynamite, characters of, commentary that I've seen. A little bit biased, but I don't care. Fuck it. And then for me, also been around for 7 years, Midwest independent wrestler, turned now kind of color commentary analyst guy when I can actually speak correctly.
Which is never.
Yeah, I mean, it's a once in a blue moon. But, speaking of once in a blue moon, that's a terrible transition because we're going to talk about the upcoming shows of the Midwest area.
What are the shows? Well, here they are.
Okay, well, the first show we're going to look at for 2015 is actually going to be First Wrestling's WrestlePalooza 5. It's going to be Friday, January 9th. At the First Avenue in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Of course, this event is sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon. Not only is it wrestling, it is also burlesque and live music as well.
It's going to be a good time.
You will be able to see the world's sweetest man, Jervis Cottonbelly. Wow, that's going to be interesting. I've never seen the world's sweetest man, and apparently you can see him at a wrestling show, which I never would have guessed. Also available that night will be the Husky Heartthrob, Cody Rice, Deputy Rob Justice, Rough Crossing, 6% Body Fat, Rob James, the crime-fighting feline, Wildcat.
One of our favorites.
Yabba the Clown, Zero Gravity, the Misfit, John Johnson, the charismatic canine, Yellow Dog, another one of our favorites here, the Kentucky Gentleman, Chuck Taylor will be in action, the King of Throwdown, Venom, and Playboy Pete Huge. Of course, tickets are $20. You can get them online, firstavenue.com. They're also available at the Depot Tavern. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8, and it is an 18-plus show. So if you're 21, they'll give you a wristband. You can drink, have a good time. It's First Avenue Wrestling up there in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's also important to mention as well, you know, you mentioned the pro wrestling angle, burlesque, if you are, you know, a devotee of burlesque. Queen Von Kurz, we got to see her at WrestlePalooza 4. New to this year is Musette, the Mistress of Mischief. She'll be there.
That's a lot of M's.
Yes, it's a lot of M's. Live music is Metal Alligator. And I hopefully got that name right. Probably didn't. But it's kind of an interesting concept. You know, got a little bit details about them. They're a Metallica cover band, but they're also a Gallagher, you know, kind of comedy.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, two names mixed like that, of course, you know, nobody would guess and nobody see it coming. But, you know, they play metal music, and they also like to smash fruit. So, I mean, if you're right next to them, make sure you bring poncho, or just be like, hey, I got some watermelon with my beer. Something to look forward to.
I don't know. It's two overrated 80s gimmicks together in one. But what's also coming up on Friday?
Well, you know, one of our first Minnesota shows that we've talked about in quite some time, oddly enough. You know, one show that is coming up as well on Friday on the other side of the Midwest area here in West Allis, Wisconsin, is Brew City Wrestling's Rise to Honor 11. It's their 11th anniversary show, as you might imagine. It's going to be at the Knights of Columbus Hall, their home of Brew City Wrestling, 1800 South 92 Street. The event is sponsored by a lot of sponsors. Keep ready for that. Farms Insurance and Jeremy Pensinko Agency, the Chiropractic and Wellness Group, CarWorks Plus Affordable Healthcare, Golden Chicken, LTS Truck and Crane Repair, Island Breeze, Big Dog Sports Grill, West Allis Heating and Air Conditioning, Eric Turner and Legal Shield, The Drunk Uncle, Blue Anchor and Tattoo, and Macco. You know, Brew City Wrestling never really has to worry too much about sponsors because they're always locked and loaded. That's like a third of their posters half the time.
Well, they do a really good job making sure that local businesses support their product, and a lot of these companies can't run without the support of the local businesses.
Exactly. I mean, you know, a lot of promotions should take the page out of that because, you know, if there was a lot more sponsors on a lot of shows would actually stay in business for some time. In the main event, we'll see Mace Morgan, Jared Jax. We've seen these two pair off quite a bit, but we will, for the first time, at least in my opinion, that I've seen this, I don't know if you've ever seen this kind of match, Jesse, a steel cage.
You know, I've never actually got a chance to see a steel cage match on the indie circuit.
Yeah.
A lot of buildings we go to don't really actually have the ceiling capacity
for
a steel cage, but Knights of Columbus, it does, and it will be there.
Yeah, I mean, a steel cage, like you said, we don't really see that in independent wrestling. A few times that has happened in independent wrestling haven't made the show, unfortunately, so it's going to be...
Oh, yeah, because you don't have a car.
Yeah, or it just I wasn't booked on that show, so I couldn't make it.
Likely excuse.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one. So Steel Cage, main event, also in action, the Brew City Wrestling Tag Team Champions, Psychotic Rage with Chaz Moretti ringside, will be taking on the former WWE Tag Team Champions, Axe and Smash. Now, when that announcement got made, the look on their face was actually pretty priceless. So,
yeah, definitely. You're going to have Demolition taking on Psychotic Rage. A lot of people, this very well is a dream match for them.
Face paint versus face paint.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a hard-hitting contest. You don't want to miss it.
Another hard-hitting contest you won't want to miss is Stacy Shadows taking on the former TNA Knockouts champion, ODB. So you got one bad bitch versus one dirty bitch.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. ODB made her debut in Ring of Honor over the weekend, so that's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out, because I know Ring of Honor also has her eye on Stacy Shadows.
Yeah, I mean, that's what better way to really just solidify in Ring of Honor, hey, we're looking at this person, then what better way to work the, you know, some of the talent. If you want to check it out and join us there, we'll be at Brew City Wrestling. Tickets are $20 at the door or $15 using the PayPal on the website, brewcitywrestling1.com. Bell time is set for 7:30. Doors open at 6:45. Seating is first come, first serve, so make sure you get there early and get the best seats in the house. And at intermission, Demolition at ODB will be having a special meet and greet. It's only $10 to meet them and greet them. And those tickets will be sold at the show. That's Brew City Wrestling, Rise to Honor 11, West Allis.
One of the guys who actually be joining us on that road trip is going to be Devlin Kane. He's
yeah.
a very big Demolition fan, and to paraphrase his laugh, he's going to be giddy as a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
speaking of being giddy, 3XW's Year of the Rebel coming to you live January the 9th, also another Friday show in the Des Moines Social Club Come and Go Theater on 901 Cherry Street in Des Moines, Iowa. Of course, this event is sponsored by Aspen Athletics, Prince Copy Center, Henry J's Taco House, and White's Automotive. Next time we go down in Des Moines, we have to go to Henry J's Taco House because that sounds delicious. Of course, the 3XW Heavyweight Championship on the line as the challenger, Red Ween, will be taking on heavyweight champion, the Rebel, Jeremy Wyatt. Of course, the tag team titles will be on the line as former champions, Inked Aggression, will be taking on the current champions, the Asian Sensations. Actually, that's just one guy. I thought it was a tag team name, but I guess apparently not. It's going to be...
You're half right.
Ricky Kwan and Aaron Masterson, who are the champions right now. They should just name their tag team the Asian Sensations. That'd be great. Of course, you're going to see Showtime, Bradley Charles, taking on the 3XW Pure Wrestling Champion, the Unbreakable Zach Thompson. Tickets for the VIP row, which is 1 and 2, 15 in advance, 18 at the door. General admission is 12 at advance, 15 at the door. Kids general admission, 10 and under, $6, and kids 3 and under get in for free. Doors open at 6:45 for advance ticket holders. Otherwise, they open up at 7 and bell times at 7:30.
One last show for you for the upcoming show's preview for this segment. Strong Style Wrestling's defining moment. They actually messaged us on the Facebook page, and they want to make sure that we cover their show. And if they're going to ask, we shall receive. Saturday, January 10th.
Wait a minute. It's if they're going to ask, we will deliver, not so much receive.
Yes. We'll receive their message, and then we'll talk about it.
Continue.
Anyways, defining moment, Strong Style Wrestling, their first of the year. It's at the La Coretta MX Event Center. If you want to get that on your MapQuest, 222 South 3rd Street in Goshen, Indiana. Got a few championship qualifier matches. Sugar Dunkington will be taking on Chris Hero, who's also having a training seminar beforehand if you're looking to train with one of the best in the business. Jake Oman will be taking on Big Russ Jones. Shay Mercer will be taking on Remy Wilkins. And also, we got some tag team action. The Soul Shooters will be taking on If Looks Could Kill.
Oh, so, that's a really cool name.
Exactly. I mean, that's four matches on the card. There's obviously a lot more. There's a lot more people announced. There will be a guaranteed champion at the end of that night for the first time ever. Adult seating is 15. Kids 10 and under are $10. Doors open at 6, and the bell time is at 7. Strong Style Wrestling's defining moment.
Now, you notice there's a lot of shows on a Friday, a lot of shows on a Saturday. We're going to have more shows posted on Facebook and on Twitter as well. So, hey, if you know any shows that we're not going to tell you about, you want to tell us about them, you can do that as well.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I noticed, like, while putting this stuff together, there's a lot of names coming down to the Midwest area this weekend.
Which is strange, because this is the coldest fucking week I can remember in a long time.
that's pretty accurate.
I mean, think about this, right? Hey, man, I got a wrestling booking in the Midwest. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it in January when it's fucking cold.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Al Snow is going to be in the Midwest. ODB, Demolition, much, much more. So, you know, if you were ever looking to meet a name this weekend in the Midwest, this is the perfect fucking weekend to do it.
You know, there's another name that's going to be out there this
What's
weekend.
That?
Alex Riley.
Yeah. Except I'm not a name. Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be real here for a second. So it's 2015, Alex.
Yeah, it is 2015.
And I know a lot of people like to make resolutions.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, do you have any resolutions for the upcoming year?
You know, that's funny. I was actually talking with my dad about this. Just because, you know, a lot of people do a lot of the stereotypical resolutions. You know, oh, I want to eat better, or I want to lose weight, or something like that. And I mean, I'm not knocking you if that's your kind of resolution, but I mean, at the same time, it's tried and true. But at the same time, it's always done. You know, it's not unique. So instead of doing resolutions, I'm actually doing resolutions.
Resolutions.
And doing some resolutions. So stuff that, you know, to kind of help me as a wrestler, you know, for the upcoming year, because, you know, We're putting the awards together, right? We've noticed a lot of things that a lot of the guys that were in there were busting their ass. They were at almost like every show every weekend if they were able to. So, you know, a couple of resolutions I put together, try to make some more shows now that we got the rent-a-car system at the university. So that's a little bit more feasible to make some shows on my own and not have to always depend on a ride and, you know, always try to work with that schedule. You know, hopefully I can make a few more shows. So that's one thing I'm looking at. I want to try to wrestle in another state. I mean, Wisconsin is a great state, don't get me wrong, but I'd love to maybe go out of the area a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, kind of check out what else there has to offer, because, you know, we see, you know, what Illinois style is, we see what Wisconsin style. What do they do in the Dakotas? What do they do in Texas? I don't know. I want to find out. And then I think one of the other big ones was just get the name out there more. Hopefully, you know, Grapple Talk can get 1,000 likes by, you know, maybe mid mid-year. That'd be cool.
Well, we're almost at 600 right now.
We're almost at 600.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's been a long road, but you know, it's been a lot of fun. And hopefully we keep it going. The Grapple Talk is our Facebook link, and it's also our Twitter handle as well. So if you're listening, because this is done for the fans, by the fans, kind of, not by the fans, but it is a little bit. So just head on over there, like and share the page if you would please, and also subscribe to our Twitter, our iTunes. I don't know what I'm saying. Jesse, what are your resolutions this year?
Simple stuff, get better at what I do. Which is editing.
That's what I do.
Stuff like that.
Are you going to pull your Mark Henry out?
That's what I do.
That's what I do.
Because you can only get better at your craft with more repetitions and stuff like that. We've said that hundreds of times now on this show. It's almost one of those shameless plugs, and we should almost
plug of the day.
Yes, exactly. So doing more shows.
Yeah.
It would be nice to transition from the job I'm in right now, which is, you know, good and everything, to doing that more full time. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to, you know, go on the road all weekend, have it come back Monday through Thursday and edit your ass off and make sure you get the products done and stuff like that. That'd be really interesting. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a lot of road travel. It'd be a lot of, you know, stuck in a car with some people you don't want to be stuck in a car with. Be a lot of road trips. It'd be a lot of Mastodon.
A lot of Mastodon.
A lot of the Sword, too. I'm really looking forward to their new album next year, or actually this year now.
I think I've become much more of a fan of Mastodon than I originally thought I was going to be a fan of.
Yeah, because you worked at a pop radio station, and you work at a rock station that doesn't rotate a lot of good rock music. Anyhow, side note,
we still play
that.
Mastodon, though.
Yeah, because now you have to. One of the big things, I think, for the year is very much supporting more independent wrestling, if I can. A lot of it is, you know, of course, you see the checkbook is always one of those things. You see the tapes and stuff like that. Maybe find a company, start following them. I'm definitely getting New Japan World, their streaming service. It's $10 a month. It's a perfect deal. You get all their events. And after what I saw at Wrestle Kingdom 9, it's one of those things where I have to now.
Absolutely.
Because, Wrestle Kingdom 9 was pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, hopefully that we can both meet our goals, you know, for 2015.
I think mine are more reasonable.
Yeah.
You know?
A little bit. I mean, I think that some of mine, as long as I can plan ahead, I think that there's something in there. I mean, I've been talking with a promotion out of state.
Oh, cool.
So, congrats. You know. Yeah, so hopefully something's working out. It's still kind of a work in progress. So hopefully sometime in the future I get to take care of one of my resolutions. And some of the other ones is just a matter of just busting the ass. And
now are you going to, like, add some new moves to your repertoire?
And I mean, maybe, you know, just keep watching tape and, you know, hopefully find something I like that I want to keep doing. I mean, you know, just watching Tyson Kidd and NXT, him and Sami Zayn, where I was just like, you know what, man, I want to do that. I want to do some of their chain. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talk about resolutions. We talk about 2015. Kind of going back a little bit to 2014, we did the end of the year award. How do you think that went over?
It went over well, surprisingly.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's in the business, you know, they want to be recognized for their accomplishments or what they bring to the table.
Right.
And a lot of those guys are very humble who ended up winning those. And they're very
we got a few
gracious.
Shares on those.
We kind of did, you know. It's going to be interesting. A lot of those guys did really step up in 2014. It's going to be interesting to see who steps up in 2015. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe you'll win one of your own awards next year.
Yeah, probably not. Let's be honest.
Come on, man. You can rig that shit.
Yeah, it can, but then it's not fair.
Wrestler of the Year, A.C. Riley.
Oh, fuck no.
Breakthrough Star of the Year, A.C. Riley. Tag Team of the Year, A.C. Riley.
A.C. Riley and A.C. Riley.
Yeah. Like, Thomas from the Future just basically predicted the show for next year at this time.
Man. Ryan Brown, Future Boy. That's all I can think of when you're talking about the future.
Speaking of future, though, we are going to be sitting down with Jack Spade here in just a moment. And, folks, if you're used to Jack Spade being, I would say funny, you're going to be disappointed because this is one of the most serious interviews we've ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we were kind of talking about that. You know, we expected maybe some Dusty Rhodes impersonations, some Macho Man impersonations. We didn't get any impersonations. We got the impersonation of Jack Spade being very serious.
We also heard a touching story about a fat 7-year-old kid who fell into a crack problem.
Yeah. Absolutely. So on that note, speaking of cracks, why don't we crack open some The Who, get some Eminem's front in here. That will take us into break. Spotlight in the Squared Circle is coming up next. Jack Spade, Jiggy Jack Spade is coming up next. Stick around.
You just like saying his name, don't you?
I do. It's a good name. We'll be right back.
heading on a wrestling road trip.
Yeah, don't sleep on road trips with the bruises. You either end up without an eyebrow or you got something drawn on your face.
Well, download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. Put your hands together. It's the moment of the hour that you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight of the Squared Circle.
Our first Spotlight of 2015, Jesse, and we are sitting down with none other than Jiggy Jack Spade himself. Jack Spade, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing all right. We're surviving this nasty cold weather that's coming through the state of Wisconsin. Are you keeping warm?
I'm in my home. I'm in the Spade Manor right now. I've got my my Simpson pajamas bottoms on. I've got my my old guy green sweatshirt on, and some socks. That's how
Suddenly
I roll.
Suddenly a never a dull moment for you, Mr. Spade.
I've also got Steve Stardom underwear on.
Whoa, I didn't know they made those, and I'm glad you're not wearing any of your Cosby sweaters that you used to collect.
Nope, the Steve Stardom underwear is you wear a regular size pair of underwear and then a smaller pair of underwear outside of them.
Well, the more you know. Did not know that those were what Steve Stardom underwear are, but I guess we can say that we officially do know, Jesse.
So you basically just want to have the double the protection and the warmth, so you wear two pairs?
You wear, there's an adult briefs, not boxers, not boxer briefs, adult briefs, and then, maybe smaller, like borderline kid size briefs over the top.
Sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, anyways, Spade, let's move into.
I made it weird. That was quick.
That was a little bit weird, but we're gonna move on. We're gonna talk a little bit about you, good sir. Other than your choice of attire, so for the people that are listening that maybe don't know who Jack Spade is, which is kind of impossible for the state of Wisconsin at least. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Jack Spade?
I would hope that most of the people listening to this would know who I am. I'm a worker. I've been in or around the business for 10 years, so almost 11 since I was 18. So worked a bunch of places, primarily work around the Milwaukee area, but I've made my way up to the Green Bay area. I've been in the Oshkosh area. I've been Minnesota with you guys. I've been down into Iowa once or twice, Illinois once or twice, the La Crosse area. So I kind of work my way around, member of the ever illustrious Ross family and affiliates. It's like a Wu-Tang Clan sort of thing we got going there, except more hood, and we just keep rolling. So I don't know if that's the answer you guys are looking for. Is there anything more specific you're hoping to get out of that?
Well, I think that sums it up pretty well, Jack. But I got to know. So you said you've been in Illinois once or twice. You've been in Iowa once or twice. How many of those times have you been in those states on purpose?
Well, I grew up in I didn't grow up, but I went to high school in Illinois. So right in the corner by where the Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois all meet. I went to high school. I worked in a basement fed there with a couple Illinois guys, like the dodgeball superstar Tyler Pregel was in that group. Stumpy, or the I believe he calls himself the Southern or the Dixieland Destroyer, is the gimmick he was going by occasionally, with the Confederate mask. Bucky Collins was in there. Those guys are all getting over pretty well down there. Some of them work for IWA. Coach Havens. So just there were 650 people in this town, and out of 650 people, four of us have all become workers at this point.
Oh, that's kind of a weird coincidence, really. Were you guys just huge wrestling fans, I take it, in high school, and just found each other and decided, hey, let's wrestle?
Those guys had known each other for a long time. I moved down there when, it was like my sophomore year of high school, after the first quarter of my sophomore year, and obviously I didn't have any friends, and I had gotten into wrestling up here. I grew up in the Milwaukee area, and I got into like ECW when that was on TNN, and WCW right when the NWO thing hit. Wasn't from like a real early age. It was 11 or 12 where I started watching it, right around that big boom time. But when I moved down there, it just so happened that I was able to find Cole, who's Coach Havens, the one kid at the school, and he was a tape collector. Hmm. So that seems like a very, very old thing to say now.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it kind of does.
So he had a room that was literally filled with tapes. Like, he had all the ECW TV from going back to, like, 94. He had pay-per-views back from the 80s, all through it. We would all hang out, watch tapes, watch shoot interviews, watch wrestling every Monday night together, watch all the pay-per-views, watch the weekly TNA pay-per-view, which is also a very old thing to say now. And that's kind of where we started. And then we started messing around in the basement there. We started, you know, play wrestling with each other. And it just kind of escalated from there.
You know, I think it's funny they mentioned, Spade, in that group that you grew up with, Coach Havens, Bucky Collins, the Dixieland Destroyer. There's a lot of prominent names for the Funky Monkey Wrestling roster. So I gotta ask, have you ever wrestled for them, or have you had any intent to wrestle over there in Sterling, Illinois?
I don't think it was Funky Monkey when I worked there. I've wrestled once or twice down in that area, and one was for Frontier, I think. Twice was for Frontier when that was still around. I don't think they're even running shows anymore. And then one was a show run by Bobby Houston, just in one of the towns I was going to high school in, because it was a two-town high school. So they brought me in hoping that I still had friends there, not understanding that I graduated like 10 years ago, so I don't know anybody anymore.
Oh, you mean there wasn't just people just hanging out in the town still? Be like, hey, I remember that guy. Let's go watch him get his ass kicked.
Right. They were like, well, get all your friends. And I was like, I graduated with a class of 27 people, and all my friends are on that show. So what do you want?
But just walk down the street and like, hey, come to see this wrestling show, and you'll be my friend. Like, okay.
I could have, but I tend to say terrible things to people when I walk down the street, so that doesn't work out well.
That is true. So how do you go from small-town Illinois to joining this motley crew, this Wu-Tang Clan known as the Ross family?
Oh, man. There's a lot in there. So to get it short, when I was done with high school, my family ran into some things, and I ended up having to move back up to the Milwaukee area with my grandparents at the time. But obviously I'd been doing this thing in a basement, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd been, and we'd been working out, and we'd been getting pretty good for people who had no formal training. But the first thing I did when I came back was I found the first thing I could find. Living in the South Milwaukee area, the first thing I could find was SSW, which at the time was South Shore Wrestling. So I went down to a show, you know, I was there with 15, 20 people. Oh, what's that? Oh, was that a phone thing going? All right. There was 15, 20 people, and I'm sitting in the crowd, and being young and stupid and arrogant, you know, I think right away, hey, I'm probably better than these guys, you know, which isn't the right way to think, but it's kind of where my head was at the time. So I just, I kind of forced my way in there and started working with them. Through them, I met Prodigy, so Jim. And through them and running shows and consistently getting better, I ended up meeting some of the older Rebels of Wrestling guys from around this area, and ended up getting trained by Chaos, Brian. And through Brian, I ended up meeting Vic. And once Vic, Jim, and myself kind of got together, we started doing the Ross family stuff at that point. And then it really took off when we started running our own fusion shows around this area and adding people in to kind of form this stable that we could take anywhere that we needed to.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up Fusion Pro, Spade, because, you know, we've seen that a few times. We've seen a few wrestlers that, you know, try to put their own organization together. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. What's something that you noticed from being a promoter that maybe you didn't expect when trying to put shows together as a wrestler?
Well, the thing that a lot of people don't notice, or the thing that a lot of people don't think of, is it's a lot of hard work. You know, you got to get out. You got to get on the roads. You got to hit the pavement. You got to talk to businesses in the area. You got to try to find sponsors. Being on the show, running the show, it's kind of a hard thing to do. I always really enjoyed the booking of the show, you know, and I always really enjoy that locker room. If you run your own show, the chances you're going to dislike your locker room are minimal, because you're going to use the people that are your friends and that you already like. But just the amount of hard work, you can't book a show and then not do anything and hope everybody and their mother is going to show up. Right. And you can't just depend on your friends either.
Exactly.
So I think if I had to ask, or if anybody asked me for advice, I'd say, you know, unless you're sure you're going to make money off of this and that you have a solid plan to do it, don't.
That actually brings me to my next question about Fusion, is that, you know, when a lot of wrestlers put a promotion together, obviously the first assumption from the general public is, oh, that guy can't get booked anywhere, so he has to book himself in his own show. And I feel like that's not the case with you guys at all, because you guys are getting booked all over the state. So I guess the question is, why did you put Fusion Pro together? Why did you guys decide to start running shows?
Well, actually, your first assumption is probably closer to the truth. When we actually started running shows, we weren't getting booked very many places, because the original SSW had just shut down, and then it had reopened with the Lenz brothers working closer with Joey B or Ryan Cross. So a lot of my friends and a lot of the people that I had come up in the business with in the Oak Creek area with that South Shore thing, they didn't have anywhere to go anymore. So, yeah, we were getting occasional bookings with MIAW. We were getting occasional bookings here and there going other places, but we didn't have that consistent monthly or weekly place always to go and really hone your craft. And if you're having a good time, you got to keep going, or else when you stop for a while, you're going to lose so much of that skill that you get just from the repetition of it. When you're in that formative 5 to 10 year mark, if you don't keep it going, you're not going to be where you need to be, you know? Yeah. So we needed a place for us and for our friends.
That's definitely true. The more reps you have in a game time situation, you're always going to get better. You know, I've always been on the record saying you're one of the most, I would say, underappreciated workers in the state. Your match you actually had with T.C. Washington at SWE's Superstar Showdown last year, I have to rank as one of the top five matches I've ever actually had a chance to call since actually getting into the business. I got to ask, what was going through your head that night? This is one of those nights where you knew you were in there with T.C. Washington, you knew it was on the line, and you went out there and you performed your ass off.
Yeah. Was that the title match?
That it was. It was the month before the Triple Threat one.
The Triple Threat one was good too.
That it was.
The match with TC, for one thing, that match made him mad because I showed up with a bunch of ideas. Mm-hmm. But if I'm being 100% straight and I'm coming from where this is that, you know, that was an SWE thing. We started to see more and more influx of people from out of the state, you know,
yeah.
Which I now like a lot of those guys. Those guys are close to us, like Rough Crossing, Dave Bell, that whole contingent, love those guys. But at the time, I think we felt like we had to prove to Chris and to the rest of the people that were kind of running that show that these Milwaukee guys can go. And if you're looking for Milwaukee guys that aren't going to be in that Bruce City camp or anything that way, you're not going to get much more Milwaukee than myself and TC, you know. And so we felt the need, I think, or I felt the need to prove that I could work a solid match without as much comedy, without as much silly stuff, which I love to do, but just to go out there and really show people a real solid 20-minute wrestling match that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah, I mean that's really said very, very well, Spade. You know, one thing I've noticed that we've talked about, and we're kind of beating around the bush about it, we've mentioned ass a lot, and that's one of your kind of go-to things for your wrestling. You know, it doesn't matter what match it is, tag team title match, SWE title match, grudge match, within 5 minutes, your ass is showing out. That actually caused a lot of divide on the Grapple Talk questions. A lot of people were saying it's disgusting. You know, you need to rethink your gimmick if that's all your go-to. But on the other side, you see people saying the fact that these people are getting upset about it is actually proving your point. So I got to ask, because, I mean, I know why you do it. Jesse knows why you do it. How did it start? When did you start saying, you know what, I'm going to start showing people my ass?
Well, I'll tell you. I started at the age of 7 when I got fat. I can't wear anything really unless I have a real tight belt on without my ass coming out. It's just kind of the way it is. I have an Irish problem where I don't have, like normal people will have, a ridge that between their back and their glutes that'll hold up pants. You know, I don't have that. Master's got what was intended for me in heaven. So I've just got a flat back with a crack in it. So the only way for me to stop that from happening all the time is to, you know, keep the singlet straps up all the time, and unfortunately that doesn't happen. There is one point where it's always been an issue in my career, but I very rarely did it on purpose, except for one match that I specifically remember Vic telling me to take my ass out.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And then I guess it just sort of became a thing. It's not intentional. It's not as intentional as you think it is.
It's just one of those things that just happens. You have a pancake butt. It's flat with a small incision.
That's right.
Yeah, you're kind of like Hank Hill. You don't have an ass.
You just got this thing.
On your backside, that just sticks out every once in a while.
It doesn't even really stick out. It's very unassuming, very low key.
Like rolls out like Play-Doh.
Yeah. You've been thinking
all
about this much, haven't you, Jesse?
I guess so. I don't know how that happens, but I know we're winding down here on time. Jack, it's always good sitting down and talking to you, especially in the non comedy sense. You know, we don't really get to see a serious side of Jack Spade quite often. Where are you coming up here in the next couple of weeks? I know you're going to be in RCCW, but where else can we see Jack Spade?
RCCW on the 30th, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then the next night, there's an MIAW show in Cedarburg that I'll be on. Past that point, I honestly have very little knowledge of what my February bookings are, because I just kind of get told where to show up, and then I go there. But, you know, keep it on me. People post their posters for what I'm going to on my page or on Vic's page on Facebook. Or we keep people informed where the Ross family is going to be. And honestly, if you hear about a fight on your city town or city block somewhere, we're probably around there. Getting kicked out of every town in Wisconsin at some point. We keep you guys informed. So come and find us. Come and friend us. We appreciate any fans. We appreciate even the ones that tell us to get out of the business. So that's how we go.
Hey, they're the marks paying money to see you guys.
Yep. All right, man.
All right. Take it easy, Jack. We'll catch you further down the road.
Thank you. See you guys later.
And that was Jack Spade here on the Spotlight and Squared Circle. We're going to come back with Wrestler's Perspective and Tape Study in just a moment.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Everybody loves
Nathan Gust.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
It sounds stupid coming out of my mouth.
Well, that was a really interesting spotlight there with Jack Spade. I know we kind of went into the interview thinking, oh man, this guy's just going to pull our leg and just rip us the whole time. But that might have been the most serious that Jack Spade has been since I met him.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we got off the phone with him and he was, oddly enough, super nervous to be on it. Which I didn't really get the vibe from. Did you get the vibe from that?
I don't know. He was kind of breathing heavily at one point in time, but I don't know if that was because of nerves or, you know, just because he's Jack Spade.
He's Jack Spade. He's a lot of personality. Yeah, but I mean, that was a good time. You know, we've been trying to get him on here for a while, and you know, I think having the first guest of 2015, you know, we saved the best for the best.
Well, yeah, he was giving you a lot of shit personally. Like, when am I going to be on Grapple Talk?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny enough because, you know, we were at one of the SWE shows. Vic comes up to me and is like, hey, I got a really good rib for Spade that you should do. Walk up to him. Hey, man, you know, we're looking for some guests for Grapple Talk. Do you know anybody that we should be looking into doing to ask that to Spade? And then, you know, give us some time, you know, later in the show. Ask him about, like, you know, an hour later, and he was just like, you motherfucker.
So, yeah, it's just the way it goes.
He's just like, Vic set you up to that, didn't he? It's like, exactly. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, we're going to do something a little bit different this time around for Wrestler's Perspective. We're going to actually take you off the spotlight this time around.
Yeah.
I think everyone's sick and tired of hearing what kind of food you like at Taco Bell, even though I did hear you do like those new Crunchwrap, you know, $1 things.
I don't know who you heard that from because I don't eat the Crunchwraps. That's Ragnar.
That's Ragnar?
That's Ragnar.
Maybe he's having one of those or maybe two of those right now since they're only a buck and he's really cheap as it is. But we saw a really interesting situation in UPW, what was it, not even 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, it was their last show back in for, what was it, Hardcore Holidays?
It was like the 27th, 28th, something like that. It was a Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Saturday. And, you know, one of the big things that it's been talked about, there was a locker room brawl between Corporal Robinson, John Wayne Murdoch, and the Hebrew Hammer himself, Joseph Swartz. So we want to get down to the dirty and figure out what exactly is going on. Joining us right now is the Hebrew Hammer, Joseph Swartz. Hey, man, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Got Jesse on the horn as well.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. What's going on, guys?
Not much. Just, you know, try not to freeze. That's, you know, typical Midwest mentality for January.
It's snowing up here.
Oh, yeah. It's snowing a little bit when we were heading over here, but it's not really heavy snow. It's just like a light snow.
Would you say like God's dandruff?
Yeah, actually, that's a pretty good description of it.
Hmm. So a lot of dead scalp?
I mean, I never thought about it that way, but yeah, it's a lot more moist than my scalp.
I
do not want to leave the house even more.
Yeah, like, you know.
All right, man. So, we'll probably just start off, you know, what actually happened. Because, I mean, the video that got posted, I mean, there's a lot of that I couldn't personally hear because, you know, the volume wasn't exactly the greatest on it. So, I mean, you obviously were there, so you heard it a little better.
You know, you don't. Nobody really likes when things like that get out there, but they do.
Right.
I mean, everyone's got a phone, everyone's got a camera on something, so there's always something that gets filmed and put up there. So it's not something that I'm sure even John Wayne and anybody else in the video is proud of, but it got out there, and people want to know what happened. So basically, Corporal Robinson had just had a match with Peter B. Beautiful at UPW. It was a death match. I believe it was barbed wire, all that good stuff in there. So their adrenaline was pumping pretty good. Like, in his defense, he was coming back with a lot of adrenaline going, and he just started getting angry and getting mad and started spouting off at Peter B. Beautiful, and it was kind of getting a little obnoxious. It was a lot too much. And then he confronted John Wayne. John Wayne's a good friend of mine. He's been there for me a lot this year, and I've been able to do some cool things with him. So, you know, basically when that happened, it triggered some things that I personally had an issue with, that he had gotten into a altercation with Randy, and she didn't make a big deal of it. And he's I'm trying to put this lightly. He basically, the way he's carrying himself these days, it's extremely uncalled for. The way he's acting, I mean, there was a time when he was this upstanding guy, like, and it's funny to say that given the way he goes around and punches everybody in the face and gets violent, but right. He was. He's a great worker, and he had everything going for him, and he was tough, man. I liked what he was doing. I thought it was great, and he's just not the old Corp. Everyone's saying he's not the old Corp, and people are saying he fell off, and when people say that, it's like, it's one thing to say it because it sounds like just people talking smack, but if you've seen that video, that's what they mean.
Really set him off, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what they mean when people say, oh, you fell off, dog, like, what does that mean? Well, what that means is that's how he's acting, that's how he's carrying himself, and I interjected myself, and I stand behind everything that I said. I said that, you know, the way he carries himself and so forth in so many words. And before I could even get up to talk to him, and, well, I guess not talk to him, but talk more, he slugged me in the jaw and caught me in the eye and everything. And the whole thing, the fight broke out, and we just started yelling at each other, and that's what everybody saw.
Yeah, I mean, based on what I could see in the video, I mean, you know, I was looking at what was going on because I was trying to focus on what exactly was going on because I couldn't hear the greatest. But I was looking around. I just looked at the locker room and just everybody was having their heads down. You know, they were just in that awkward situation that they had to be in the locker room because they couldn't really just be half naked and distracting from the match, you know, or even not even having their gear on of anything. But at the same time,
it was the end of the show too.
Oh, okay.
So the other thing that happens is, you know, the music's not playing. Everyone's kind of clearing out, and everyone wants to get, so everyone can kind of hear the echoes from the back. So the whole crowd could hear this whole thing going on. It was a absolute whole ordeal. It was completely unnecessary and over the top. And it's just, it makes for a very uncomfortable Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that's the thing that I got the vibe from you is that you were kind of, you know, speaking for the rest of the locker room when you were trying to almost not exactly say what they were saying, but almost try to maintain the peace because, you know, we saw that they were kind of sitting around awkwardly like, this is actually happening. What the hell? And you're just trying to be like, hey, man, calm down. You know, let's talk this out, but that didn't work that way.
No, it did not. And what can you count on when everyone's emotions are flaring up and adrenaline's pumping and blood's being spilled? I just had a really bloody bull rope match with John Wayne Murdoch earlier that night. I mean, we were all amped up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at the same time, no one's thinking straight, but this old Corp business needs to stop, and he either needs to come around to what's going on and he needs to be the man that he used to be, or he needs to just simply hang his boots up like John Wayne said. And I firmly believe that it's fork in the road, you know? And apparently I'm standing on the side of that road. So we're going to have to settle it out before he can make that decision if he wants to figure out his life or if he wants to continue making an impact in this business.
Well, it's going to be interesting because you actually have a match with him coming up here in, what, less than 2 weeks, is it?
No, it's this Thursday.
This Thursday, really?
No, it's this Thursday.
Okay.
I mean, that was perfect for uncomfortable Thursdays.
That's what I meant. This match was booked well before this was going on. So the tricky part with it is Ian is very big on honoring bookings. And, you know, so am I. I might not like the guy, but, you know, Corp is. It's just something that wrestlers do is we honor our word and we honor our booking. Mm-hmm. So basically we were told in so many words that if this match doesn't happen, you know, there might not be any more bookings, but I certainly had no intentions of no-showing IWA. I'm not going to let some guy who's making bad decisions and struggling to find himself right now, coming out to freaking Eminem music these days and trying to find himself. He's trying to find himself out, and I've found who I am. I know what's going on. I'm in IWA. I go in there every time. I don't run away every so often and get mad at Ian and take it out on the fans and then come back and say, I love you. And, you know, just come back and kick somebody's ass, man. Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Right. So, I mean, I gotta ask too. I mean, when this video came out, I mean, you know, we tried to talk about it on the Facebook page, and I think a lot of people talked about just how quickly this spread. I mean, you know, within, I don't know, like less than 12 hours. I mean, it got a bunch of shares, a bunch of comments on the original post. I mean, were you surprised at how quickly it spread?
No, I want to be. I want to be, but apparently I've been in wrestling long enough where that does not surprise me.
Right.
In fact, you almost would think that 10,000 views is contained.
A little bit, yeah, because, like, I hate to say
10,000 views is like the government covered it up. We're good. Nobody saw it.
Illuminati.
Illuminati, Alien, Jay-Z, all that good stuff. Hush money.
But it's one of those weird things where, as the wrestling business, like, everyone likes to really kind of glorify all the good stuff, but everyone wants that dirt. They want it inside that locker room. That's why, like, shoot videos are so popular, because everyone wants to see behind the scenes.
It sucks being part of them, though.
Exactly.
It's just fuck.
Yeah.
It's really, I don't know what your language, your idea is. I don't know what I can say on here, but
well, you can say whatever you want to say, man. It's free reign.
Yeah, fucking cuss. Go right ahead.
It's fucking shitty. Mm-hmm. It's really fucking shitty, and that's like the best I can describe it, because it's what it is. It's just really shitty to be part of that, and then on top of it, you've got this situation that two men are obligated in that already have friction, and, you know, we might have laid into each other before, but now it's pretty much out there, and, well, I mean, I hope... At minimum, I hope Ian does well that night. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's not going to be a comfortable evening. We were already told what sides of the... Like we're not going to be on different sides of the building, but he wants us in two separate rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an indie locker room, let's be honest. So right. There's a prearrangement of how we got to go in the building and just not be... We're going to go out there and handle our business and... You know, when we're done, we're done. And that's what we were told. And when we're done, it's, you know, quote, it's fucking over. When it's done, unquote. And I agree to it, and he agrees to it, so why not?
So I got to ask you, this is a very serious question. Are you afraid of what you're going to do to Corporal Robinson on Thursday?
I'm not afraid of what I'm going to do, because he's been through the mill. Mm-hmm. He's done it all, like, deathmatch-wise and fight-wise and street-wise. I mean, if I were to sit here and tell you that he was, oh, I'm going to beat him up, generic 80s promo on a guy, like, that's not a real thing. That's not, no. He's a tough guy, and he is in a nothing-to-lose situation, but at the same time, I'm Mr. Moments. I make moments. That's what I do. It's what I've been doing, and I will make a moment at any cost. You will leave the building talking about what I did in some capacity. And that's real. It's a real thing that's going to happen. And I will do what I have to do if, you know, there's no rules. It's going to happen. It's just going to go down, and when it's done, it's done. So I'm not afraid of what I'm going to do. I most certainly am sure he's not afraid of what he's going to do, but I know that it's going to be brutal. It's going to suck to go through emotionally, because you never like it under those circumstances. And it's not going to be one of those things that, even where it's going to probably be a tear-down ball where two guys are going to go on the back and hug each other and I love you, brother, this and all that bullshit. So that's what you're going to see. That's what everybody wants to know is going on. And that's the best I can put it, well, being diplomatic.
Well, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, I think that's a great way to end it. But before we do officially end it,
oh, that's great. So you're like, this is a great, great way to end it. And we're not going to end it. Oh, fuck, I mean, you know, swerve.
It's a swerve a little bit. But I mean, I think we've gotten a good perspective on what's going on. But I mean, before we actually let you turn you loose, Schwartz, I mean, is there anything else you want to add about this entire situation? I mean, is this something that you know, if going back in time, you would do it all over again? Or is this something that in the future you would have preferred to avoid? Anything like that?
I mean, I got to stand by my actions. I would, if I went back in time, I wouldn't change a thing because my friends were being attacked. My family was being attacked. The business was being attacked. I mean, it wasn't a good situation, and I am not afraid to say what I need to say. People know that about me. I've said a lot of things that have upset a lot of people, that have pissed many people off. There are a lot of people that don't want to touch me with a 10-foot pole, and I do not care. I will say what I need to say because I stand by it 100%, and I believe it 100%. So, no, I wouldn't do one thing different. If anything, I would have got to my feet quicker and probably knocked him in his fucking tooth.
Well, I think that's a pretty good revision plan if you were to do it all over again. I mean,
yeah, I just would have done it first.
Right.
I mean, fool me once, you know what I mean? So,
right.
I mean, it's not going to be a comfortable environment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess all we can say is, you know, we wish you luck, and hopefully you're able to at least hobble on your own 2 feet after everything's all said and done.
You know what? I wouldn't be worried about that. You know, this gimmick thing that everyone gets behind of me being, you know, the fun Jewish guy and all that, it is who I am, but I'm also a very angry person when I need to be, and I don't take lightly to attacks, and it's kind of like, you back me into a corner, I'm going to claw your eyes out with nails, I'm going to find what I can, and I'm going to shove it down your throat, and I'm going to fucking cut your arteries, and I'm going to feed you your own fucking spleen.
So if anybody wants to see you do said surgery, cutting open arteries, shoving nails into his chest, everything like that, where can they check it out? We know it's IWA, we know it's this Thursday, but... where in the U.S. can we see all this open-heart surgery?
This is going to be in Clarksville, Indiana, the Jammers Roller Rink. It's not a very large town, so you can find it. If you're in Clarksville, just ask somebody where Jammers is. But 7 o'clock, 7:30, I believe the doors are. 7 o'clock doors, 7:30 start time, all that good stuff. Sorry, like, that kind of stuff, as much as I'd love to plug the show and I'm trying, it's not my concern of the night. My concern is this fucking fight.
Right.
But, you know, this Thursday, I'll be there. Randy West will be there. You know, all your IWA guys will be there, and Corp will be there. So just be there at 7 o'clock, 7:30, no later. I don't know if we're going to start the show or if we're going to end it, but... whatever's going on between Corp and I, we were told when it's done, it's fucking over, you guys.
So basically, for everybody listening, whether they start or end the show, it ends at IWA.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, Schwartz, thank you for your time. Good luck on Thursday.
Oh, no problem, guys.
And we'll talk to you further down the road.
Of course. I appreciate the platform.
And that was the Hebrew Hammer, Joseph Schwartz, IWA in Indiana this Thursday. If you want to see some blood... you got it over there.
You know, it's always kind of weird when you actually, the hype surrounding the event is actually something that was created when you weren't really thinking about the event.
Yeah.
But now it's really become personal between these two guys, and it's going to be interesting how that plays out. I know, I don't follow IWA a lot. It's not really my cup of tea. I'm not really a big deathmatch, blood and guts type of guy.
Really? Because you strike me as a deathmatch type of guy.
No. I'm not at all. But it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. Maybe be one of those I might try to pick up, you know, especially on DVD, just to see how it goes. But let's get back to a lighter subject matter.
Let's get back on the positive side. Jesse, what do you got for tape study?
All right, this week for tape study, I'm going to do something a little bit different.
Okay.
You know, we do a lot of matches here on tape study.
We do.
And a lot of matches. But this time around, we're going to give you a podcast to listen to.
Okay.
I know.
It's podcast like, study.
Yeah, it's still a tape study.
Okay.
All right, because you're learning about the business. And one of the best tape study podcasts that I could actually think of was an episode of the Ross Report with Cowboy Bill Watts.
Oh, okay.
Having the opportunity to sit down and listen to both Ross and Watts talking about their philosophy of wrestling and what they would do and how they go about it and why they go about it is definitely an eye-opening experience, to say the least. It's one of those things, if you want to learn more about the thought process that goes behind the craft. I mean, there's stuff that we just, as fans, we just, I would say we neglect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like referee positioning, why over the top rope is a DQ in some territories and not in others, the mats, the aesthetics, all the theater that goes into a professional wrestling match. Like, sometimes we kind of forget about that.
Sure.
And listening to these two guys for 2 hours talking about that stuff is definitely a worthwhile experience, and I want to hear more from both of them. I want to pick up a book about Cowboy Bill Watts. I want to see more of his matches. I want to learn more about this guy. You know, even though I didn't know a lot, but I still want to know more. So,
should we get him on a spotlight?
He probably wouldn't do it.
You know, maybe he'd be never like, say never.
You call yourself a wrestler, Riley? You know what? I had more matches when I was five than you've had in your 5-year career. Let me tell you something. And he'd just like rattle off.
He'd probably say that.
But no, it's always. So far, though, like we're going to put that one on Facebook, on Twitter as well. Like us there. Follow us here. But, like, God, you still got to sit down and watch Wrestle Kingdom 9, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sit down and watch it. My God, that was fun. That was a fun pay-per-view.
I've been hearing nothing but positive reviews about it, man. I mean, you know, like, people have been skipping their work. I mean, not skipping work. They've been watching it at work. Kid Riot. I mean, you know, so, yeah, I mean, you know.
Oh, come on. When doesn't Kid Riot do something at work that he's not supposed to be doing?
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
And I think even Kid Ride, if he's listening, is like, yeah, they're kind of right on that.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a great tape study. Listen to that podcast, The Ross Report with Cowboy Bill Watts. If we're talking about podcasts, I want to talk about one. Art of Wrestling. You know, a lot of the times, you know, a lot of podcasts, you know, I try to listen to the ones that maybe I identify with to kind of get a taste of what's going on. So, like, listen to Art of Wrestling with the CM Punk one. I went back and saw the one they had with Ari Daivari, the brother of Sean Daivari. You know, we know Arya from the Minnesota area. Great guy, super humble. And then he's on our age range, which we would have never guessed unless we asked him. You know, it was great listening to his interview with Cabana. It was cool because he was talking about how he sat down with Rhino, and apparently he was the only one that actually was asking Rhino about what Rhino thought of his match. You know, which was, I guess, mind-boggling to him that nobody was asking for the advice of a guy that's been on TV. You know, and I think one thing that I really took away from that episode is that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers will ask, hey, man, what'd you think of my match? You know, what did I do good? You know, what can I improve on? Blah, blah, blah. But I think the way that Arya actually worded it was just dynamite, and I think a lot of people should pick on to this for next time when they're asking the opinion of, like, a vet, like, if you know, a rookie's going over to talk to Matt Winchester or Dysfunction or whoever, you know, instead of saying, what do you think of my match? What can I do differently? Or what would you have changed in my match? Because instead of, what do you think of my match? Oh, you know, he's a nice kid. I won't hurt his feelings. If it's, what could I have done differently in your opinion? Then you're getting free rein to the vet who you're asking to actually change something. And I think that was something else, because then it's a little bit too of like, were you actually paying attention to my match, or were you just like, it was good, man, you know, thanks, you know, good job, fans liked it, I was just listening. I've done that a few times, I'll be honest.
What, ask people how your match was, or just like, yeah, your match?
No, I mean, like, I've had a few times if I would get asked, you know, just in general, you know, if, like, hey, man, what'd you think of my match, and I would just kind of listen to the crowd. I mean, if the crowd was into it, then I assumed it was a good match. And then sometimes I should have been paying attention a little bit more, I'll be honest. But, I mean, and that's the thing, is like, what could I have done differently? Then it's like, oh, crap, I should have actually been watching the match. But, you know, I think that's something to really take home as well, is what could I have done differently?
Is that the name of this episode?
No, we'll think of something else for it.
Well, folks, we got to wrap this one up. We're getting close to that time frame. But quick shout-out to AC Riley. Closing comments.
Oh, man, you caught me with my pants down.
What?
Yeah, that's my cult. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. First episode of the year. I'm excited. It's always been a good time. You know, it's always fun. It's even better because Nick wasn't here. I'm just kidding. Nick, we miss you. Kind of, maybe. Not really.
I don't think he's being serious at all, Nick. I think he actually...
We're actually talking to his empty spot, just for the record of anybody.
And his chair looks empty.
Yeah, his chair does look pretty empty. But, you know, yeah, first episode down, plenty more to go. I don't know how many weeks there are in the year 2015, but that's how many more.
It's the same number of weeks every fucking year.
Well, I don't pay attention. All right, we got to wrap this up.
But anyhow, quick shout-out to the Dick Devin Drake, was actually featured as one of the up-and-comers under 25 by Daniel Johnson on Twitter this morning.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually kind of interesting. Like, I follow this guy. He's actually a writer on the Indie Beat, and he found a Devin Drake match against Archer Sterling.
Really?
On a WPW show a couple years ago, and he really liked his work. So big shout-out there for Devin Drake.
You know, shout-out as well if we're going to give shout-outs to, you know, up-and-comers. I mean, Indie Power Ranking, the top 100, three of the guys from FWF, you know, Congo Kong, Chase Matthews, I'm forgetting the other one. I apologize in advance, but, you know, at least two or three of the guys we've had on Grapple Talk, and they were dynamite guests, and they were on the top 100, Jesse, of the Indie Power Rankings. That's what I'm going to say about that.
Cool. Well, I'm going to leave now.
All right. See you later.
All right. Take it easy.
Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Pinheads Entertainment Center, that's 13825 Britton Park Road.
Who you calling Pinhead?
Who you calling Pinhead?
Who you calling Pinhead,
Jesse?
SpongeBob reference.
I don't watch SpongeBob.
Whoops.
Wow. With Nick Ragner, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Because most of the promoters we know have generally huge egos. They think they're the best thing since sliced bread. But we all know the best thing since sliced bread is frozen pizza.
And Katy Perry.
Exactly. Ugh. What?
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.